And my daughter asked me, she says, are you nervous, Dad? I said, yeah. I had a fella tell me he'd been preaching about 40 years, and, well, he's been preaching closer to 50. He said, you ever stand behind the pulpit and preach God's word and you're not nervous? He said, quit, because you got a problem. So, yeah, Jesse, I'm a little nervous. If you would, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. While you're turning there, I got saved in 1984 in Corpus Christi, Texas. Accepted the Lord as my Savior. And about 1996 or so, right in there, 97, I felt the call to preach. God was calling me to preach, and I said, no, I ain't going to do that. And I went off on a bad side of life for a while, and through a series of the Lord whipping me, and He will whip you, I surrendered to preaching in 2006. And then from that point, I left Colorado, I went to Mississippi, and ended up in Kentucky. Had a very good friend of mine there that's a preacher, was my pastor for many years, and I trusted his judgment, and he said, there's a good school here. This is where you need to come if you feel that's where the Lord wants you. And so I've got two more years left there, praise the Lord. And people say, well, you don't like Kentucky. No, it's not that I don't like Kentucky, but the school's getting old. So anyway, I enjoy school. My wife goes with me to school. We go three nights a week, and that's a blessing. And so I just thank the Lord for godly people in my life that lead me in the right direction. I appreciate Brother Darrell allowing me to bring God's word. And what he said, very few people get behind the pulpit, and I understand that. It's the same way Brother Steve is. He's really concerned about who's going to be there because it's a serious matter. So I appreciate that very much. I feel very honored. If you would, stand with me. We'll read the first three verses. Daniel chapter 6. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this evening, Lord, that we're able to come to your house, and Lord, to sing praises to you, and Lord, to preach your word. I ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and minds for it, that would be receptive. Lord, if there be one here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I just asked you to burden their heart, Lord, that they would not leave here today without accepting you. Lord, if there be a Christian here, Lord, that is not surrendered their life to you, that's just hanging in there, Lord, I just asked you to burden their heart that, Lord, they would give their life to you. I asked you once again, Lord, to be with our soldiers at home and abroad, put a hedge of protection around them. Be with our country and its leaders, Lord, burden their hearts that they would, Lord, seek your guidance and not lean unto their own understanding. And these things we ask in Christ's name, amen. You know, as I read this, I was studying this here a few weeks ago, and I got to reading about Daniel. I like to read about Daniel. He's a pretty impressive fella. And at this particular time of Daniel's life, he was about 70 years old. You know, and if you read on in chapter 6, he was cast into the lion's den. Now, when I was a kid, he went into the lion's den. I always thought he was a little bitty boy. But it wasn't a little bitty boy. It was an older man that had been cast into the lion's den. But as I was reading it, I thought, now how did Daniel gain such favor with these people that they put him where they put him in the position that he was in? Well, if you'll turn over to chapter 1... Chapter 1, I'll give you a little background. King Nebuchadnezzar had went into to Judah, and God had delivered them into his hand. And he had taken captive some of the children of Israel and taken them in. And it wasn't just any children of Israel. It was, I believe, hand-picked. If you look at verse 4 there of chapter 1, it says, he said, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as has ability in them to stand in the king's place, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. Verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now look at verse 8 with me. It said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Listen, Daniel started what we was reading in Daniel chapter 6, how he had an excellent spirit. He started that as a kid because he was, I'm not exactly sure how old, I would say in his teen years. He started that when he got there. He said he purposed in his heart. He determined in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with king's meat. Now the Jews, they had these laws. There's certain meats they couldn't eat, and some of them still think that way. But we know in the Word of God that there's nothing unclean to us now since Christ died. But Daniel at that time, he said, I'm not going to defile myself. And that made an impression on certain people. And if you read on in that chapter, it says he was fed with pulse. And I'm like, what is pulse? It don't even sound good. I'm more like the ribeye type. And so I got to looking up pulse, and it's kind of beans, peas, just sort of, and I'm thinking, you know? But he purposed in himself that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. So he took a stand for God at that time in his life that really stuck out to people. That over the years, Daniel continued to stand for God. He continued to have a purpose in his life that I'm determined I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's what he did. And as he did these things, God blessed him because he took a stand for the Lord. Now, if we as Christians, each day of our lives, if we would have that purpose in our heart that we are going to take a stand for God, that we are not going to defile ourselves with what the world offers. Because the world offers a lot. You turn on the TV offers plenty of garbage. It's kind of funny. Somebody asked me one day, they said, do you watch TV? And I said, not anymore. And they said, oh, you became a preacher, you don't watch TV? I said, no. I said, when they changed all this to digital, I didn't get the box. So now I don't have TV. But what we need to do, though, is be careful with what we fill our minds with. Especially young people. Young people really need to be careful with what they're watching on TV. Their parents need to be careful with what they're seeing on the computer. I've got an iPhone. Thank the Lord I don't have it with me. It'd probably ring. I've got this iPhone. I can do all sorts of stuff. A friend of mine told me I was a high-tech redneck. I said, well, maybe so. it was kind of funny. I'll tell you, we were going down the road and I had my laptop open. And I had my iPhone going. And he says, why don't you text me this missionary's phone number? And I'm like, well, I can't figure out how to text it. He said, well, I guess we could go back to the 19th century and just write it down. I said, that's a good idea. But seriously, we need to be careful with what our children are looking at and watching. This iPhone I've got, and I've seen lots of kids that have them, you can punch on the internet with just a touch of your finger, and poof, it comes up. And whatever you want to go into, it's right there. So not only has Satan opened up the door at the house through the TV, but now it's everywhere we go. And these phones and these computers can be used for God, but we all know that they're also used against God. So we need to purpose in our lives as Christians. We need to make sure that we are determining that we're going to live for the Lord and that we're not going to defile ourselves with what the world has to offer. He set the right example. If you'll notice here in chapter 1. If you'll notice verse 7, there was three young men with Daniel. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think everybody probably knows their story. But you think about what they saw in Daniel. It doesn't say they stood up and said, hey, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meats. Because maybe they were hungry. I don't know what their situation was at that time. And these meats look pretty good. I mean, like I said, I like ribeyes. Medium rare, about that thick. Oh, that's good. And then they bring out a plate of beans. It's like, no. Satan makes things look good for us. He really does. Sin is fun. It's a pleasure. Ask Moses. He said so. He said, but I would rather live for God than have sin for just a little season. That little bit of pleasure. So these three men, the example that Daniel set in front of them, helped them later. And I love this story. And if you'll turn over to chapter 3 of Daniel, and we'll not read the whole story, but I'll go through part of it. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a statue built and wanted everybody to bow down to it when the music played. And they bowed down. Well, here stands Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, they're sticking out like a sore thumb. So Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, maybe you didn't understand. And he says in verse 15, I believe it is, yes, verse 15, he says, now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This is my favorite verse, would have to be probably of the whole Bible. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 said, King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't even have to think about this. They said, basically, in my terms, hey, King, we ain't got to think about this, buddy. We ain't bowing down. We're not going to serve that image. Because God has told us, you don't serve these images. You don't have idols. We're not going to do that. But now, if you think back, they watched Daniel take a stand. Wasn't sure what was going to happen to Daniel. Shadrach was over there. He said, watch Daniel. I know what he's going to do. And they watched him. And he took that stand and he said, no, I'm not going to eat this stuff. I'm not going to defile this my body with these meats. I'm going to stick to what God has told me. I'm going to obey God. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no doubt because of Daniel's testimony to them, no doubt because that's their buddy, he stood. They said, hey, we're not going to do this. They knew that God would take care of them, that God had taken care of Daniel. And if you read on there in chapter 1, it says, and believe it goes into chapter 2, as they ate this pulse, they were tested for 10 days. And boy, they looked so much better than the other ones. And it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they had also saw God's handiwork. They had saw God bless because Daniel took a stand for him. And so these three young men, they were standing there and they said, no, we don't even have to think about it. Verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They just flat told him. They said, look, we're not going to bow down and worship. And you can throw us in the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, be it known to you, we're not going to worship the image that you put in front of us. Because we'd rather obey God than man. And that's what the kind of stand we have to take. We've got to be willing to take that stand because in our day and time, and I'm not going to get into politics, but our day and time isn't looking good for Christians. It's not looking good to be able to come here tonight. And so we need to purpose in our hearts, are we going to make that stand? Are we going to take a stand for God and not the world? We need to make that decision in our lives. what we're going to do. If you look over to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel, again, when he was in his 70s or so, right in that area, they had made a decree, and these people were out to get Daniel. They didn't want him where he was at. There's always somebody, if you take a stand for God, that's going to want to get rid of you where you're at. They don't want you around. And Christ told us it would be that way. We shouldn't be surprised. Christ said, the world hated me before it hated you. They're going to hate us if we stand for Christ. So that's basically what took place here was they made a decree with the King Darius and said, hey, can't nobody take any petitions before their God. Well, just as soon as Daniel heard it, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house and his windows open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It wasn't nothing that he had never done. He had always done that. That was a testimony even to a pagan king, because if you read in verse 16, even King Darius believed that God was going to take care of Daniel. So whenever we're living our lives, you got to think, who am I influencing in my life that I don't even know about? You think about that. Who do I influence in my life? Daniel influenced these 3 young men that were his buddies. But not only that, he influenced just about an entire kingdom because of where he was at in his political realm of life there. Not only that, though, he influenced a pagan king. It says in verse 16, he says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he might deliver you. He didn't say that. He said, he will deliver you. King Darius knew, even though he wasn't a believer, he knew that God would take care of Daniel because of all of the things he had heard. You know, he hadn't been king very long. He come in and took over. But all these people started saying, now this Daniel here, you can trust him. This Daniel here, he serves this God. And this God has taken well care of Daniel. It had to be that way. That's the only way it could have been in his mind that, hey, this is what took place. And so even King Darius agreed. He said, Daniel, your God will take care of you. Because really King Darius didn't want him in there. He liked him. And later on in the chapter there, if you read, he goes and says, hey, Daniel, did God take care of you? You know, if he didn't believe it, he'd have never went and rolled a stone away to check and see if he had been eaten or not. It had never checked. But if you'll turn with me now to Romans, turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Apostle Paul, Moses, all of these people we read in the Bible that took a stand for God, that they could have lost their lives, they all had one thing in common. In verse chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was persuaded. Daniel was persuaded that God would take care of him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were persuaded that God would take care of him. What you've got to ask yourself is, are you persuaded that God's going to take care of you? First, you've got to say, well, am I persuaded that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins? Am I persuaded that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, and He hung on a cross and shed His blood for my sins, the sins I committed yesterday, today, and the ones that I'll commit tomorrow? You've got to be persuaded of that. You've got to be persuaded in your heart of those things. Then you've got to be persuaded in your heart that it says in John 10, verse 28 and 29, that when you're saved, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're in the palm of, you're in God's palm. You're in His hand, closed up. Nobody can pluck you from His hand. We're there. Are you persuaded of that? People have asked me, are you persuaded that the Lord has called you to preach? Hey, I can't stand up here and say a word if I wasn't persuaded of all these things I'm talking about. Because if I'm not persuaded that God is able to take care of me, if I'm not persuaded that if soldiers come busting in that door tonight, which they possibly could one day, and say, denounce Christ or we'll kill you, I've got to be persuaded that the Lord will deliver me. And He may deliver me right then and there. I may not die. Then again, if I do die, He's delivered me anyway. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tried to explain to the king. I don't know if he understood it or not. They told him, he says, hey, our God will deliver us. But even if we die in the fire, we're still delivered. And let it be known, we're not going to worship you. That poor young girl at Columbine up in Colorado years ago when those kids went in and shot all, he walked up to this young girl and he says, are you a Christian? She said, yes. And he said, denounce Christ or I'm going to kill you. And she said, no, I won't denounce Christ. She was persuaded of where she'd be. We need to be persuaded as individuals that tonight, if the Lord calls us home, we'll know where we're at. That tomorrow, if they send in UN troops, that we'll know where we'll go if they take our lives. Maybe they'll just throw us in jail. Paul, if you'll read the book of Philippians, Paul was encouraging the church. And I got to reading it one day, and I'm like, wait a minute. Paul was in jail writing it. He's the one that needed the encouragement. No, he didn't need the encouragement because he was content with where the Lord Jesus had him. He said, Lord Jesus, take care of me. Paul was persuaded that no matter what his life was like, no matter if he was beaten and in a dungeon of a prison, or if he was living high on the hog, God was taking care of him, however it was. We must be persuaded in our life that God is going to take care of us, no matter what our present may be. No matter how our life may be going at that present time. We've got to be persuaded of this. If we are not persuaded that the Lord can do all these things for us, then we're in trouble. If you're not persuaded tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you need to be. The Lord Jesus Christ died on your cross for your sins. He died on the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Him. If you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, tomorrow morning you're on your way to work. My daughter had a wreck the other day. Somebody hit her T-bone. And she called me up. She was mad because her truck was tore up. I said, you know what? Thank God that you're okay. But if I had got the call that said, hey, she's dead and gone, it would have hurt, but I know where she's at. And I have that peace in my heart. I know where she would be. If my wife dies tonight, I have that peace. I know where she'll be. We need that peace because we're not promised another day. Now is the time for salvation. Today. Not tomorrow, not next week. Brother Darrell was talking about this morning, that little voice. Brother Leonard mentioned that little voice that talks to you. That voice is talking to you saying, oh, you don't want to go up there tonight? People might look at you. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's Satan. Trust me, he comes to church every time the doors are open. He's a faithful member. That's not the Lord talking to you. The Lord's talking to you. He's saying you need to. You need to move now. You need to accept the Lord as your Savior. Brother Darrell.